join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich.
Welcome, welcome back to the Goodbye Poor Hello Rich show. This is the Thursday edition. If you don't know, I'm now posting twice a week. Yep, you heard it. Twice a week. I know. I can't get enough of talking out loud. It seems to be something that I enjoy. You can have me twice. Right. Thursday, today's, is going to be more focused on the guest, on the interview, and the things that fall out of the back of that. Tuesday's episodes are going to be my usual thoughts and points of view, as well as documenting my entrepreneurial journey, the things that I've learned, the tips that I've learned along the way, and the general value that I like to give back for free. I was finding that as I combined the two, episodes were getting longer and longer and longer, and I really wanted to keep this down to 30 to 35 minutes an episode, just because much longer than that, I know from my own point of view, no one wants to hear anyone talk for longer than that, so I'm not going to be that guy. Right. This week, we are here with Russ Britton, Honest FBA. What can I say about Russ? Honestly, I could run a 30-minute episode on Russ alone, just talking about him. What a lovely guy. Let's talk about how I met Russ. Russ signed up for my mentor program probably about a year ago now, and he did what I did. He took £200 and with a view to turn it into a multi-income stream, six-figure business, he pressed record on TikTok to record his journey. And he did the same things I did. But what Russ did that was different to everyone else that I've seen do this, because let's face it, a lot of people saw what I did and said, you know, let's give it a go. Russ networked like a mother. And he actually took on board the things that I was saying. I know, shock, right? But he reached out to loads of people all the time. Every guest I had on the podcast, hi, listen to the podcast. You were great. A lot of people didn't reply. Some did. And the ones that did, that's his networking. He's engaging. He's off and away he goes. Now, Russ is already working two jobs at this point. So this Amazon gig was his third job. My God, the guy works like a Trojan. And to see his trajectory, to see his journey is nothing short of inspiring. And I am buzzing. And whatever I can do to throw my weight behind Russ, I will do. Because there's a lot of similarities in what Russ is going through to what I went through about a year ago, where you've got all of these people saying to Russ, I'll help you, I'll help you, I'll help you. You can see the graph that he's putting in and you want to reward him for that. But at the same point, it's giving Russ this existential situation where he's on the outside looking in and thinking, why the bloody hell are these people helping me? What if I don't make it? What if I let them down? I know he's feeling this because this is exactly how I was feeling. People saying, Des, you're definitely going to make it. You're definitely going to make it. I want to jump in on your journey. And I'm sitting there thinking, what if I don't? What if I don't? This could be the biggest embarrassment in the world. But that's that imposter syndrome coming through. So what I think I'll do is let you listen to Russ's story rather than have me tell you how he's feeling. Why not have him tell you how he's feeling? Because you know what? That's better. Before we get into the interview, thank you, thank you, thank you to Seller Ampsas, who continue to sponsor our show. Easily the best sourcing analysis software on the market. Whether you're scanning something in a shop or whether you're looking at something online, through their app and through their Chrome extension, Seller Ampsas breaks down all of the data in an easily digestible format. So you can see how many times a product sells each month, how many in stock each of your competitors has got, how many ratings and reviews have your competitors got, is there any hazmat materials involved in the product, are Amazon in stock, are Amazon even on the listing? It goes on and on and on. Seasonality, dangerous goods, buy box statistics, reverse sourcing, storefront stalking. It's everything you would ever need to determine whether a product runs or not. And it's the best in the market. And I can get you a massive discount. Go to the show notes. I can get you 2 weeks free and 50% off your first month, effectively giving you 6 weeks for free. Let's get into the interview. Roll them. Russ, this one has been a long time coming, mate. Really good to have you on the show. Welcome.
No, thank you very much. No, it's been, we talked about it for a while, so it's good.
We have, mate. We have. I love it. Right. I think people have seen you knocking about, right? They would have seen your TikToks by now, I should imagine, either one of the channels.
Yeah.
They would have seen you in the Facebook community. I know you're part of other communities and you're a strong voice in there as well. So come on, mate. Time to hear your story.
Right.
Tell us your story, Russ.
Yeah. So, start at the beginning. I've been in the fire service 18 years and still am, still full-time employed by the fire service. One of the advantages of the fire service is we work rolling shifts. So there's opportunity alongside that to explore other ways of making money or supporting your family, whatever you want to do. So, 7 years ago, started my dog walking company, and built that up. I now employ multiple staff. I've got over 100 dogs on my books.
Wow.
And still running that alongside my fire service shifts. Like I said, I brought staff in, so now they handle the majority of it. And then, what was it? It was just before I started that, I did the match betting as well.
Oh, did you?
Which a lot of people I know have done. So I pursued that for 2 years and made really, really good money. But like everybody who does the match betting, all the accounts then got gubbed, as they call it.
You
don't qualify for any of the bonuses. So that dried up. I dipped my hat into affiliate marketing because I had a couple of blogs on the go, one dog based that was alongside my dog walking business. And then I had another one, which was about walking and hiking specifically in Northumberland.
Mm.
Because I'd moved up here from where I am originally, which is South Wales, and fell in love with the place and just loved exploring it on foot. Kind of why I then built up the dog walking business, because me and my dog were out all the time. Everyone was like, we've got a dog as well. Would you mind taking it? So everything kind of came together. Started charging people for taking their dogs out, walking all over Northumberland, started documenting it for see if I can make a bit more money, tried the affiliate marketing. And that's kind of like where I started really exploring the possibility of making money online.
Right.
Which is similar to yourself, a completely foreign concept for people of our generation. You know, internet was for streaming films and doing a bit of shopping and, you know, that was kind of it. So worked on some affiliate marketing, threw some money at some courses, never got anything back out of it, and just seemed to spend all my time having to try and write. And I don't particularly like the writing side of it. It was really time consuming and it just kind of faded away. So then I was like, well, there's obviously money to be made on the internet. You see the affiliate marketers are making good money. What else is out there that's available for me to start kind of exploring? So then I started looking at building up a e-commerce kind of wing of my dog walking company. So put a shop on the side of my dog walking website, started putting a few products up. That's where I came across a thing called drop shipping. And while I was exploring that avenue, I came across this term FBA, fulfilled by Amazon. Well, that sounds a bit weird. Park it, never looked at it again. And just focused on the actual e-commerce side, like a traditional e-commerce where I was holding stock for the dog walking stuff. Wanted to make it a bit different. So started working with lots of small businesses, people who were making unique boutique items on the side of them having full-time jobs, whatever. But it was offering, the way I kind of thought about it, was almost like an Etsy, but specifically just for dog products. So
okay,
if people wanted something unique or different, I had a marketplace where they could come and explore that. Offered monthly subscription boxes as well. And it was just starting to get a bit of momentum, starting to get some traction. And then COVID happened. So that was like the start of 2020. And all of, because it was small businesses, people working on the side, very vulnerable supply chains, everything just stopped. Nobody could make anything, nobody could do anything. So the whole, that side of the business just completely stopped. That kind of ended that avenue. But it had opened up my eyes to okay, so there is definitely possibility of making money online. Went back to affiliate marketing because that didn't require products. Again, I started out and I was like, I just don't enjoy it. I can't see myself committing to this. And I was just scrolling around. As most people had signed up for TikTok in COVID because they had a bit more free time. I was actually very fortunate because my dog walking business could continue because there was people working from home. So I put systems in place where they would leave the dog outside and we'd pick them up from the garden.
Yeah, yeah.
Came up with a way to keep that business going. But I was like, there's got to be something else I can do with this online stuff. So I was scrolling through TikTok and as always, my algorithm was filling up with side hustles, affiliate marketing, all that kind of stuff. And then your face popped up.
Hey, there I am.
And talking about FBA. And I was like, I've heard of FBA. And that's not like the typical kind of kid selling me a nonsense story. You know, you're an older bloke like me. You've got some kids like me. And you're desperately trying to change your life so that you can spend time with your family. And I was like, that's exactly what I've been kind of building towards and working towards and what I dream of. So I stalked you for a little bit, just kept coming across you. And obviously the more I watched, the more it popped up and stuff. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to give it a try. Like there's got to be something to it. So then explored a few other people who were talking about FBA, came across a couple of American kids, Warner and Miles.
Yeah, yeah.
Saw their kind of stuff. And I was like, actually, there's people out there talking about this that isn't the sitting on the bonnet of a Lamborghini in Dubai, because you know that's not true. Like that just isn't what it is. And then, joined your community, I think May 2023. Started just consuming everything. Went out, hit the charity shops, bought a load of used books, sent them in. And the day my first box arrived in Amazon, I sold my first used book.
And I was like, did you? That's amazing.
That's it. It works. The guy from Brighton isn't telling lies. It bloody works. So I actually made a loss on the sale, but we'll gloss over that bit.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't matter.
The process works. So had a chat with the wife and I was like, look, you know, I'm always trying stuff. You know, I'm constantly kind of throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks. I've come across this and I said, this has potential. This like no mortgage in 5 years kind of potential. I'm going for it. And she was like, great, do it. So that's when it all kind of started. And exactly the same as you did. I was like, £200. I can afford to invest £200 and I'll see what happens. So that was June 2023. And now here we are, October 2024, coming upon 50,000 in turnover. And I haven't got another penny in, so it's just been churning.
Yeah. Oh mate, good for you. That's so good.
It's been a ride. It really has. Like when I had to write it all down just to make sure I hit everything, and I wrote it all down. I was like, oh, I've just tried so much stuff that didn't work, but just keep trying.
And that's it, mate, isn't it? Really, that's the underlying message. There's a couple of things I want to go back over. The fact that you had two jobs and that still didn't seem to be enough for you to live the life that you wanted to live, which is nuts.
Yeah.
Even pre-COVID, I kind of only became aware of it really in 2022, but I think I was floating without even looking. But perseverance and support from your other half.
Yeah.
That means everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I know it sounds daft, like having two jobs, not enough, wanting more. But both those jobs require me being somewhere for multiple hours where I'm not doing what I want, which is being with my family, exploring the world, building memories, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the post-COVID right now, we really, really hit it and see what works is my daughter was born in 2022. And it was like, right now I need to get myself out of this corner I've painted myself into where to continue to make money, I got to continue to give my time.
Yeah. You had to leave the hospital early, didn't you? There's a story there, isn't
there? Yes. So I was going to say, my daughter was, I think, 7 months old. And we were out shopping one day and I was carrying around Morrison's, and I was like, it's just something not right here. And she had a massive seizure and stopped breathing.
Oh.
And didn't come out of it for quite a while. So like to a point where I was starting to prepare CPR on her. So we then spent a week in hospital, and yeah, horrendous, awful time. Just trying to figure out what was going on, but she just couldn't control her core temperature. It was just bouncing around all over the place. And every time she got hot, she was starting to flake out and getting close to seizing again. So it was just stuck in the hospital, not being able to do anything, just waiting for test results. Oh, we're not sure. Oh, we're not sure. And on day four, I think it was, I had a wedding booked in because I take people's dogs to their weddings.
Of course.
As part of the dog walking stuff. So I mean, I can't cancel someone's wedding on the wedding day. They got the whole plan. The dog's meant to be there. It's carrying the ring. It's in the photos, all this kind of stuff. Also, if I don't do it, I lose several hundred pounds. And now I'm struggling to pay the bills because my wife hasn't gone back to work since the baby was born. And so it's just like, what do I do? So I had to walk out of the hospital and go and do this wedding and be happy for the day. And I was just, every time I had 2 minutes to myself, I was in tears, you know? And I was just, this can't continue.
No.
Sorry, I'm getting a bit upset.
No, blimey, mate. Sorry, I didn't mean to take you down that path, but it links back to what the episode that I did with Natalie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
She was saying how grateful she is to have the time to look after her kids.
As weird as a thing of it is to say about her story, that's where I want to be.
Like, yeah.
I don't want the bad side of it, but I want okay, shit has hit the fan.
Yeah.
I can still be present, look after my family, and know everything else is taken care of. And I will get onto it later, but that's why I'm so big about automations and outsourcing and building a business that I don't have to be physically present for every hour of every day.
Yeah, it's perfect, mate. It's perfect. Yeah, it's funny, right? Because I literally... last Monday, I had a concert up in London, right? And this is a completely different scenario. But my brother said to me, oh, should we just book a hotel and stay up overnight? He works in London. And there was three of us, and the other guy, he runs his own business as well. And I went, yeah, let's do it. Let's book a hotel. Let's stay overnight in London. It was only about 3 hours later when it dawned on me, oh, I don't have to take tomorrow off work. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm kind of already shifting past that. And it's similar sort of thing. I'm just not thinking anymore about someone else wondering where I am on my time.
And well, it was like that meetup we went to down in Nottingham for the Salaramp event. I had to sort out shifts to go to where I want to be all day. And, you know, it's just there's constantly something that's out of your control, or is an obligation you have that you have to keep.
Yeah.
You just can't avoid. So that's, yeah.
No, I completely agree.
And that's why FBA, e-commerce, all that kind of stuff just was always so appealing, because you need an internet connection and some self-discipline. Well, I've got both of them. I just need to break free from the other stuff so I can just focus in on that.
That's it. That's exactly it, mate. And we are of a generation where a second job was a dog walking business, a window cleaning business, a garden job. Especially firefighters, mate. How many of your mates are on the tools?
All of them.
Yeah, every firefighter I know, I've got a handful all down here. They're all on the tools.
Yeah. I mean, like I said at the start, so the advantage of our shifts is that generally it's a two on, four off. So there's opportunity to be off during the week where, you know, you can turn your hand to something. And historically, the fire service is known for that.
Yeah, yeah. But fire service is also known for such a lack of progression.
Yeah.
You've got no choice. The job you have when you're 18 is the job you're likely to have when you're 45. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I joined when I was 24 and I signed up for, well, what I thought was going to be 30 years. It turned into 40 years. And I was ready to commit myself to that and be happy with it. I started the progression of going up through the ranks. Got up finally onto the first step, because there's a lot of hoops you've got to jump through and a lot of nonsense that they ask of you to make sure that you're committed enough. And I was just getting my foot on the ladder, and then I moved from South Wales up to Newcastle, transferred to Tyne and Wear Fire Service, and I wasn't allowed to transfer my rank. So I went back down and I was like, do you know what? It's just not worth it for an extra 2-3 quid a shift.
No.
You're up all night on the computer, doing all the paperwork, handling all the nonsense that firefighters like myself come up with, because we're always breaking ourselves or breaking equipment or losing something.
Yeah.
So they're always chasing us. And it's just like, I'd be better off just committing myself between the hours I'm at fire station, I'm a firefighter, but then the hours I'm not there, I can explore what I want and the opportunities.
Make as much money as you can. Yeah, definitely, definitely. But the dog walking business, mate, that sounds like it's doing really well. Is it making good money?
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it's allowed us to keep my wife from going back to work after we had our daughter. So she's at home, full-time mum.
Nice.
Which is great. I really wanted that. Personal belief that it's better for the kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's allowed me to employ some other people doing what they love, but they didn't want to have the responsibility of running a full business.
Yeah.
I get to be outside all day. I'm playing with dogs. I can go where there's no people and avoid talking to anybody. It's fantastic.
And then talk to your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I chat to my ChatGPT by myself all day.
No, that's amazing. No, good stuff. So in less than 18 months, you've taken £200 to over 50,000.
Yes.
Hey, that's incredible.
I know. Yeah.
So it's so strange though, isn't it? And this is the thing that I think with e-commerce, it just doesn't seem real.
No.
All of it just doesn't seem real. You're looking either looking at numbers on your phone or you're speaking to people on voice notes on a phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem real.
It's such a different world, and it really did take a bit of adjusting. I mean, I'm still going through the process. I mean, one of the things I had that I wanted to mention about was like the whole mindset of it and just how it is so different. I mean, I was lucky. I've run my own business, so I've got an experience and knowledge of that. And like I said, I've got that self-discipline and the motivation to kind of push myself to do it. But yeah, switching that whole thought process and the expectations, and just like you said, the numbers that you're talking about, it's just wild when you start like really getting into it. And I mean, the biggest one that hangs over your head is just the potential. There's just so much opportunity. You know, like, yeah, less than 18 months on the FBA stuff. I've now diving into the TikTok stuff that you've started doing as well with the affiliates. And now that I'm refreshing the screen and now I've got money in my account just from chatting to my phone. And it's just like, this is weird.
It's so strange, but all of a sudden it doesn't even feel like money. It's just a number. Just another number.
And especially because I haven't taken anything out. I've not spent a penny. So anytime money comes back into my account, it's either covering the monthly expenses or it's buying stock. And I've just churned and churned and churned and churned. So yeah, it just feels like a game. It just like I've had no kind of reward from it as such, apart from, you know, obviously the knowledge that I'm building something, but I've actually not taken a penny out to spend on myself. Just keep reinvesting better stock, more stock, better systems, processes, softwares, whatever it is, outsourcing. And just, keep building this. I just keep thinking of it. I'm just building this massive ground floor on a tower that I'll eventually start going up. But at the minute, it's just, like I said, what automations can I put in place? How can I build it so I'm not tied time-wise all day, every day? Because it's addictive as well. Like, you just want to keep going with it. And there's so much potential.
I think you hit the nail on the head, mate, when you said it's like a game. And what's really funny is that I'm literally, after we finish this interview today, I've got this monologue in my head about the whole gamifying everything. And I've got my camera out and I'm ready to go as soon as we finish going for like a YouTube post. But you've hit the nail on the head. Every successful person I know treats it like a game. It needs to be fun. You need to play. I truly believe that's what makes it motivating.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can like level up yourself. So like, you know, you build up your credits. Believe it or not, it's actually real money, but it's just credits.
That's the thing. It's real money. Yeah.
You go and see the magic innkeeper and you're like, I want to upgrade my sourcing. Here, have a warrant. And then, you know, you just kind of like, you just keep building and building and building and leveling up. And then, before you know it, then suddenly you're on the beach drinking the margaritas we've talked about for a year and a half.
Exactly right, mate. But this is it. You've got to be willing to play the game. You've got to and see it like that and keep showing up to play it.
Yep.
The old rich dad, poor dad. I saw an interview with him and he went, I learned all I learned about money, and I realized that I'm going to treat life like Monopoly.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I buy a bunch of houses, and when I've got enough money, I turn it into a hotel. He said that's literally his life. And he does it all out in Hawaii. I mean, this is before the storm here. I dread to think how much money he's lost in the storm. Mm. But the concept of Monopoly is a brilliant business model. It's a ridiculous business model.
It is. And the fact as well, like, you'll have save spots where you get so far and you go a bit further, it doesn't quite work. Well, you don't lose everything. You just go back a little bit. And as long as you're willing to throw the dice again, you carry on and you try a different path or you try a different direction or whatever.
That's it. And the more money you got, the more you can spread your risk and all of that stuff, mate.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's just that resilience to just keep at it, keep banging your head against the wall. And
Yeah. And it's easier said than done. So let's get into the challenges, mate, because I know the mindset's been a big old thing for you.
Yes.
When did you start feeling that you could potentially self-sabotage?
So, some confidence is something I've always kind of had an issue with. When I was a kid, I didn't really speak, especially out in public. I've always kind of been a shy person.
Hmm.
But kind of got past that level of things, but always had that kind of lingering self-doubt and not being the most confident, especially doing new things and putting myself into different situations where I'm not comfortable. So it's always kind of been there, but I think I've been pretty good at handling it. Just trying to think when the Nottingham meetup was. I can't remember what month it was. Was it?
It was
July, August.
Yeah, it was just before the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was August. It was August.
August. Yeah. So I was heading down there. I made my TikTok video, sat on a train station, just talking about how I keep thinking about how having days like this would be my dream and what I would love to get to. And then reminding myself, I'm actually doing it right now. So I am doing what I dream of and I should be grateful for that. And then I had like 8 hours on a train by myself there and back. And it just got into my own head and just kind of like, but what if I now kind of get it wrong? Like, what if I mess this up? What if I, whatever, you know, for whatever reason, kind of lose focus, make a mistake, whatever it is, no matter, you know, like you said, I put my risk wide, not deep. So, you know, I can make mistakes. It's not affecting everything, but just kind of got into my own head, started thinking about the life I was potentially building with being able to be with my daughter all the time and family days out. And it was just building. Had a fantastic day at Nottingham. Spoke to some amazing people, really freaked myself out because it was people like I'd been watching and listening to for a while. I had a few people start following me on TikTok who were really big people. And I was like, crap, they know about me now. So now it's kind of getting real. And just kind of built and just had a bit of a panic attack. And it was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I really don't know if I can do this. I'm a simple little fireman from a little village in South Wales. And now I'm having video calls with people in Los Angeles about potential working together and stuff. I'm like, this is getting beyond. This is insane kind of thing. So that's when I reached out to you and you put me on to Lydia, who I'd listened to on a previous episode, and just kind of got my head back into it and worked on some self-concept stuff and some self kind of belief and some goal setting, and just went back to my business plan, reevaluated it, and then just broke it down set 5-year goals. Right. Break that down into year by year. Right. Break that first year down into month by month. Right. Break that first month down into 4 weeks and 3 different areas. And now break that down into 2 tasks each. Well, now you've only got like 6 tasks you need to do this week. That's easy, you know? And so just book it right back down to basics.
That's exactly it.
Give myself a nice long timeline. There's no rush. There's no stress. There's no pressure. I am worth it. I am worthy of this. I do deserve it. There's plenty of money. Me taking some doesn't impact anybody else.
Bucket in the ocean, mate.
Just go and get it. And straight back on the horse. And pushing harder than ever.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And it surprised me when you messaged me with that. It did surprise me because you wouldn't know that about you. That's the irony.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that about you. It's you have always been, and you, how many firefighters are in their shell? You know what I mean? It's a certain mentality of people. Everyone I know is a big character in the fire service.
Yeah.
But how you came about on my radar, mate, is you joined the community, you reached out to me. Even though I might not have replied, I probably didn't. I'm terrible at that sort of thing, especially on Messenger. But you started adding value to the community. First thing you did, before you'd even bought anything, you know, so it wasn't a case of, oh, Russ has paid for that, let's give him some time. You could just see the value you were putting into my Facebook group, answering questions, because you and I both know best way to learn is to share the knowledge you have got, right? And that's the irony with this sort of stuff. Everyone goes, oh, don't gatekeep. No, for God's sake, share what you know, because it actually makes you better. Anyway, you got it. And when you started doing that, people like me and Claire and Steve saw, like, right, who's this guy? Who's this Russ guy? And then I went onto Messenger and saw that you had messaged me. And that's how you do it. When people say, how do you network? How do you network? You do what's right for you. And the universe has got you. Because people will start paying attention if you start doing that.
Yeah. And that's like, I've taken that, you know, there's been many guests that you've had on this podcast that I've just reached out to a message and just said, thanks for telling your story. It's really beneficial.
Lovely.
And just open up a conversation with them and stuff. And there's some that I still chat to. Through you, I've got to know people like Luke and Natalie and, you know, build up relationships there. And then before you know it, people are reaching out to you. That's how I got to know Warren, through TikTok and that kind of stuff. And before you know it, you're in Florida buying Natalie candles so that she can smell Disney ones.
That's amazing. I love it. So when did you start your TikTok thing? And when did you think, you know what, that's what I want to do?
Well, funny enough, that is actually off the back of one of your episodes on the podcast. And
Was it really?
I can't for the life of me remember who it was, but you had them on there about building your social media channel and building your own personal brand. And I remember I put it in the group to say, right, I've listened to the episode, that's it, I'm starting a TikTok channel.
I wonder if it was one of like either Lisa the Side Hustle Sister.
I think it might have been, it was a while ago, obviously.
Or Jamie Rose or one of those girls that have done amazingly, but yeah.
I think it was Lisa, I think. But anyway, yeah, I heard one of the guests talking about it. I was like, do you know what? I should just do it because... It'd be a way for me to document it and just kind of look back on where I started from and just chat away. I'm out walking by myself with the dogs. I can easily just hold up the camera and film for a couple of minutes and just talk away. So, yeah, went away, went on an hour-long walk and recorded for the entire hour and didn't have anything that I wanted to use. So went on another walk, recorded it again, and, yeah, just put up a post introducing myself. Came up with my channel name of Honest FBA and was just going to like openly talk about the difficulties and the struggles as long with the successes and the wins. That was kind of the start of it. Can't remember now exactly when it was, but been posting regularly the entire time and that's just built up and built up. And again, that's opened doors and avenues and it's just given me a way to kind of talk about and express whatever I want to talk about within that FBA stuff.
All right, that's part one. Look, you can get the idea from Russ in that, just how humble he is and how much he's willing to put everything on the line to make it work because his purpose and his drive, my God, inspiring, absolutely inspiring. I met Russ, we talk about it in the interview. I met Russ at the Selleramp SaaS event up in Nottingham. And I went across and I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear a shirt. Look, I'm the guy that wears a hoodie. Look, if you're on the YouTube, look, you can see the Funko that I got given at that award. And I'm wearing a bleeding hoodie and tracksuit bottoms, for God's sake. So I thought, no, I'm going to dress up smart. So I put a shirt on, you know, even ironed it. And when I got there, it was nice. Russ walks in and he is fully formal. Nice shoes, trousers and shirt. I had a pair of jeans on. He looked the business. And he had travelled down from the northeast to be there in Nottingham. So his commute was shocking. And he talks about his train ride there. If it's not in this one, it would be in next week's. Either way, Russ, on the way home, had to run for his train. And he had to walk a fair old distance as well. And the blisters on his feet, because he only had his smart formal shoes, cut his feet to ribbons. But he had that mindset. He was manifesting this. This is the life I want to live. So I'm going to go and put myself out there, the best version of me that I can be. I love him for that. I love him for that. And the fact that this stuff is all coming good for him. We're going to talk more about what Russ is doing next, because since this interview, Russ has already kicked on and gone up another couple of levels. And I want to talk about that next week as well. But in the meantime, let's leave it there, shall we? Let's, fingers crossed. I've kept it under 40 minutes. I'll never know at this point. We only know after the edit. It's a gamble. Have a lovely, lovely week. We'll come back with Russ part two next week. Listen out for the extra episodes dropping every Tuesday and on YouTube as well. Let's keep this train rolling, shall we? Come on. Have a lovely week. Take care. Ta-da.
You've been listening to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Make sure you join us next time for more real talk and some undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Just a little reminder that this podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor.